Welcome to the Tradeswomen Australia podcast series that promotes women in trades. Here you'll hear stories of success and ambition from some of the industry's most inspirational women.
I'll say to anybody out there who wants to have a career in upholstery or is interested in it, to just go for it.
Today we're speaking with Carolyn, an upholsterer by trade. Carolyn is passionate about her trade and is the perfect person to share what a career in upholstery could be like for you.
Hi, my name is Carolyn Brayshaw. I am an upholsterer by trade, and that's how I started out my career. I have been, at the age of 36, gone back to university to do my teaching degree, and I'm now a fully qualified high school teacher. I teach old school manual arts, I teach design and graphics.
I'm going to have to ask you, actually, before we get into your career, if you wouldn't mind explaining what an upholsterer is.
Upholstery is recovering of lounge suites, dining room furniture. We can also do marine and automotive chairs and that sort of stuff. So we can do door trims and all that. We can also do interior furniture. So I mainly specialise in household furniture, so dining room chairs, lounge chairs, pelmets that go across the top of your curtain. And so we can actually take your lounge, strip it back to the foam and to the basics, and then we can reupholster it and cut out the new fabric, upholster it back so it can go back to the client. I can also then make something from you. So if an interior decorator comes to me and says, here's an image of a lounge that we'd like for you to replicate, we can do that as well, making it from the frame, pre-upholstering with the foam and the webbing, and also put the cover on it afterwards.
And how did you get into the industry?
My parents are upholsterers, and when I was a kid, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. When I left school, the options for me were secretarial work. There was shorthand and typing at school, but I really didn't take to either of those. I knew that I didn't want to work in a secretary administration position. My parents said to me at the end of grade 12, you're not going to sit around for your holidays, so you can come and work with us. And I did, and I loved it. And then 12 months later, they offered me an apprenticeship, and I was their apprentice for the next 4 years.
Wow, it's so impressive. How was it working with family?
It's actually a lot more difficult than what people think it is. I think working for your family is easier, and it's probably more pressure on you, especially when we did a lot of hotel work. So at that time, getting jobs out, making sure everything was out on time, there was a lot of pressure to work weekends and extra hours, more than what anybody else had to do. So, yeah, I think that my parents were a lot tougher. There's more of that expectation that you would do more than anybody else working for them anyhow. So, yeah, it's quite hard, very demanding work. You've got to be able to lift furniture and, you know, work with other people as well.
I've been doing some research and I noticed there's not a lot of training providers offering Cert 3 in upholstery. Is it hard to get into, or is it an industry that doesn't have a lot of workers in it? Can you shed some light on why there might not be that many training providers offering it?
I don't think there are, because it's one of those trades that is dying. And unfortunately, it's just the way that we go when we've got places like Amart Furniture and all those big brands where you can buy furniture cheap and it's not very trustworthy furniture, but it is very, very cheap, so you can get it easily. So upholstery is one of those dying trades. I went through about 30 odd years ago, and there was only about 15 of us then at that point in time. I was the only girl, and there wasn't very many people who actually did it, and there wasn't a lot of training that was provided. And it is a shame, because a lot of people have that interest. They don't know how to sew, and that's part of the trade. So it's a real shame, because I don't know of any other upholsterers coming out of the trade. There doesn't seem to be very many at all out there.
Has the industry adapted to the change, like the introduction of Amart and things like that?
There's been a lot more production work. So you go to one station and you put on your foam, the lounge gets pushed onto the next station and you put some cover on it. Then it goes to the next station and you put the cushions on it. So people aren't learning the process right from the start all the way to the finish. They're only learning in these big production companies one process, and they just have to repeat that over and over during the day. I know that when they get into production, they make a lot of shortcuts as well. So They haven't also learned how to take off fabric and the recovering process. A lot of these big production companies just pump out 60 million chairs that all look the same, and they just don't worry about the end process. They don't worry about the fact that it's not going to have a long life cycle, and people don't care about that so much either. So they're just buying all this furniture that's cheap, they can sit on it, it's readily available, and it works up until a period of time. But it's not long lasting. It doesn't last 20 or 30 years like mum and dad's couch does. It lasts two or three, and then you throw it out and you buy yourself a new one.
That's such a shame, especially considering the impact that has on the environment. Like, we're becoming such a throwaway society. It's very disappointing.
Absolutely. But then there's also small niches of upholsterers who specialise in, you know, repair work. They also specialise in recovery of antiques. And that's one of my favourite places to go, is to get an antique piece of furniture and bring it back to life. So it's made a little bit differently than normal furniture because it's got the springs in it. It's got horse hair. They used horse hair instead of foam back in the day. And they also use tacks and a lot of flock. And flock is like old T-shirts, and that cut up really, really fine. And then they pad it in. And that's what they used to use for foam. So when I get an antique chair, it just makes me so excited because I want to rip it apart and see what's underneath. But these days now, they just use foam a lot and a webbing. So it's a thick, elasticised piece of fabric that they use underneath the foam to make the lounge very springy. And so there's a big difference between what they're doing now and what we've been trained to do. And a lot of upholsterers who can, or even people out there who can deal with the old stuff. So that it is very disappointing because we've become sort of like French polishers. French polishers are another trade that, you know, works very closely with people with antique furniture, but I don't know, you know, there's not a lot of them either. So unfortunately, some of these traditional trades are dying, and I don't know how to bring that back to life, to be quite honest with you. Hence why I'm in the job that I am today.
Well, I'm very excited to talk about how you've gotten to where you are today. Can you walk us through, you've kind of explained you did your apprenticeship with your family. Can you walk us through your career, how you got to where you are?
Okay. So I started off with mum and dad at the age of 17 and did my apprenticeship with them for 4 years. I then got married and I had two children, and I still worked with mum and dad part-time with the children. And then my kids started going to school, so I decided to become a teacher aide to help them with their school work and work the hours that the kids were actually at school. And it just became a little bit more accessible for me to have my kids, you know, and also bring up my kids, be home in the afternoons with them. And then one of the teachers at the school said to me, with your trade background, you'd be excellent to teach other kids. And so I went, yeah, you know what, that really excites me to be able to pass on my skills and my knowledge to somebody else. And that's what got me inspired. So at the age of 36, I went back to university with a whole bunch of teenagers, and I did night school. So I used to be a teacher aide during the day, and then I'd take my kids home, and my husband would come home and I would go to night school. So that's how I did it for 4 years, and it was really, really tough. But then at the end of it, I became a teacher. And now what I can do, because of my trade background, because I have those skills, those transferable skills of problem solving, being able to use tools, I can demonstrate to girls, young girls, that they can do it as well. And I practice what I've learnt in my trade. I can also teach, also I have had classes down here where I've taught teachers how to make footstools, upholstered footstools for Christmas presents and all that sort of stuff. So I want to be able to pass on those skills that I have and show people that they can do their own sort of upholstery, small upholstery projects at home.
Wow, that's so impressive, being able to go through another 4 years of university.
It wasn't something that I would suggest to all people, but because it was tough. It was really tough. And at the end of each year, I used to question myself, is this really worth it in the end? And I think it was. I really do. I love teaching kids. I love being able to see that light bulb moment where they go, I get that now. You know, I can do it. You know, I have girls that walk into my grade 8 class and they go, oh, I'm not touching that. And these, when I say pieces of machinery, and I say, yeah, you will be. No, I can't do that. And then when they walk out of there in 10 weeks' time, really confident about, you know, using a pedestal drill or a disc sander, then I'm really proud of that, that they've been able to overcome that fear. So that's, and it's a confidence boost for them as well. So I'm really happy about doing that.
What were your friends and family's opinions like when you told them you were doing a trade, and were they supportive?
All my life I've been a bit of a tomboy. I've never been a traditional build girl. My uniform was shorts and a shirt. And so I think that people were not surprised when I said, this is what I wanted to do. My family have always been supportive of whatever I wanted to do. And my friends were just, oh yeah, that's Carolyn. That's how she rolls sort of thing. So I don't think anybody was really surprised. I have had a few men who have, throughout my trade, who've gone, you can't do that. And one in particular, in my first, you know, when I was really young, I went, a truck came in and we had to unload some timber, and I got up into the truck and he, in no uncertain terms, told me to get off the truck, that I was a woman and there was no way that I could handle the timber and unloading the timber. And at that stage, I could hear my mum laughing at him as though to say, oh, I wouldn't go then, mate. And I stayed on the truck and I unloaded every scrap of timber that there was for us for that order. And that was my way of showing people. I didn't get angry. I just dug in my heels. So, you know, there's been a few times where I know that people still, to this day, look at me going, really, you're a tradesperson? But they're few and far between. It's become more accepting for women to do non-traditional women's roles. And I think that that's fabulous for us. I've never been one of those Bernie Bra kind of women. I don't want to be recognised for what I've done. I just want to be able to do what I want to do. And I think there's a lot of girls out there who are the same. They don't want the recognition that they're different or that they're in a male traditional role. They just want to be able to do the job that they love and work hard at it and be the same as everybody else. So I think, yeah, that's sort of where I come from anyhow.
And for anyone who's listening that's considering pursuing a similar career pathway or has started looking into upholstery now, that this might be the first time they've heard of it, what advice do you have for them to help them get into the industry?
Go for it. Knock on every door that you can. Go and get help from an employment agency if you need to, but do as much research as you can. It is a dirty job. Sometimes you're up to your elbows in cockroach poo coming out of somebody's couch because that's what crawls around in the back of your couch. Mice, cockroaches. But you find a lot of pens from that went down the sides of people's couches. But go for it. Absolutely. If that's what your passion is, then you will never, ever have a day where you wake up going, oh, I don't want to go to work. Every day is different because once you finish one job, you're on to the next job. And it's different from the first job. So there's never, ever any boring parts to it. And you learn so much. You learn how to problem solve. You learn how to transfer skills. And you just have fun with it. And it's nice to be able to. The best part for me is to be able to go back to a client and take back their lounge. And that look on their face when they go, oh, that looks great. It looks beautiful. It's just how I imagined it. Or, wow, that's a shock. I didn't think it was going to look like that. But I say to anybody out there who wants to have a career in upholstery or is interested in it, to just go for it and just knock on Tate's door, find out where they can go get some skills, learn that sort of stuff, and absolutely just, you know, follow their passion.
And would you like to see more women in the industry, and how do you think we could achieve that?
I'd love to. I'd love to see more women in the industry. But then is it, you know, I don't want women to do it just because they can. I want them to do it because they're passionate about their job. So for me, I don't know how to, for me, my everyday job, I'm inspiring girls to do something that they haven't normally put their hands on. So there's not a lot of girls who will willingly come to our classes because traditionally it's just a boys thing and they're being taught by men. So for me, every day, what I want to do is show kids that girls can do anything. And if you really want to get into a trade, then just experience, open your mind. Don't have blinkers on that you're going to just walk in there and be able to do everything straight away. Go in with an open mind and try. Keep practicing. So make sure that you know what you want. Okay, don't just go into a trade because, oh, well, it's a lot of money at the end. But go in there thinking, yeah, this is going to be something that I want to do for the rest of my life. But I don't think there is an easy answer for us to explain why we don't have a lot of women in the trades. And I don't think there's an easy solution for us to get more women. But I also think that it's something that starts with me here in the levels of teaching in schools. If I can encourage more girls to pick up a hammer, pick up a tennis saw and have a go, then I'm doing my part for them later on in life when they're thinking, what do I want to do in grade 10, grade 11 or grade 12? Oh, maybe I'd like to try engineering. Maybe I'd like to find out how to weld something. And then that opens more doors for them when they leave school. They know then that if they wanted to go in a trade option, they've got the ability to do it and the confidence because that's what we gave them in school.
Now, I'm going to go back to something you said earlier.
Yep.
What is the most exciting thing you've found in the couch?
We had a client, not necessarily in the trash, but in a lounge that came in. We had a client and we had to go pick up her lounge from in the middle of Brisbane City. And she wasn't home at the time. The builders were in and they were renovating. We brought the lounge back out. About 2 hours later, she rang. Hi, it's Richard, Mrs. such and such. And she started on my lounge. And in my head, I was thinking, oh, honey, we are like 3 days away from starting on your lounge. But no, not yet. Can she come out? And I said, yeah, that's fine. But I knew that she had to drive an hour out to the workshop. And I was thinking, why do you want to come out? She came out and she started pulling the seat cushions off the lounge and unzipping them. And she had stashed thousands of dollars of cash in the seat cushions of her couch. And she was pulling it all back out before we found it. So, and that has stuck with me for a long time. And I think that's very funny. But the other one that always makes me feel a little bit ill is that one couch had a dead mouse stuck in the back of the lounge. And you could see the skeleton, the outline, the everything, and the smell that went with it was, oh my God, disgusting. So he'd been stuck between the foam and the fabric, and he couldn't get out, and he died in there. And so they're the dirty parts of the job that you have to do, unfortunately, this poor little mouse.
Were people sitting on that couch?
Yes, they were. You'd be very surprised what we find down the back of the couch when we start pulling it apart. So if you think about everything that's in your pocket, you know, whenever you've lost the remote control, it goes down the couch. We find pens and money and pins and jewellery. We found jewellery, which we always send back because we think sentimentally that has to go back to the client.
Now, Carolyn, we're about to wrap up the show, but is there any final words of wisdom that you want to leave us with?
I'm really blessed. I think that I'm really lucky in my life that I've had the opportunities that I have been given. Some of those opportunities have come to me, like from a very early age. I've had the opportunity put into my lap to work with my mum and dad. And I really do cherish that opportunity, even though some days we fought like cat and dog. But then the opportunity of them turning that into becoming a teacher, I've had to take it upon myself. And even though it's been a bittersweet end to it, you know, I'm loving what I do every day. There's not a day where I wake up and go, oh, I don't want to go to school, because I really do want to help kids. But then, you know, I think that opportunities don't always land in your lap. Some do and some don't. So I say to kids or anybody who wants to get into any sort of trade, take everything that you can, learn from as many people as you can, and then you can transfer that into what you want to do. But, yeah, I think that I've been really lucky. I don't see what I do as being outside the norm. For me, it's just what I do. And so I think that I've been really, really lucky in my life that I get to do something that I can do in my spare time as well. So when I'm not working and I'm on school holidays, then I also have a little bit of a business at home that I do, that I work with people in my spare time in my garage. So it's a trade that I've, even though I'm not practicing it every day, I've still got my hand in. I teach other teachers here. And we also used to work for a lady called Meg Solly, who had a workshop called She Skills. And so it was a workshop where it was four women. It was run by women, teaching women how to use basic tools. And unfortunately, the funding for that wasn't so great, because they've had to shut that down. But it was a great experience for women, and they were so thankful for that experience to learn those sorts of things. But yeah, I'd just say to anybody, whether they be girls or boys, do whatever you find that you love. And if it's something that's tactile, something that you can hands-on, then go for it.
And Carolyn, how can listeners get in touch with you?
Thank you very much for listening to my story. If you'd like any further information, you can get in touch, or you'd like to get in touch with me, you can do that through TradesWomen Australia. Anybody that I can help answer some questions or give any information to, I'm more than happy to help. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on the show, Carolyn. We really appreciate you sharing your stories, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Till next week, talk to you later. Thank you for tuning into today's show in partnership with the Federal Department of Education and Training, Real Skills for Real Careers. You can find out more about pursuing an apprenticeship and beginning your lady tradie career on our website at www.tradeswomenaustralia.com.au or on the myskills.gov.au website. If you enjoyed our show today, please leave us a 5-star rating and spread the word to encourage more women into trades. Thanks again, and catch you next week.